Do you want to live godly? Do you want to know today how to live godly and how to live as a godly example? I mean, when you really think about it, isn't that what we should be striving for? When we are Christians, shouldn't we be striving to live as that godly example? Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, 1 Corinthians 15:58. Isn't that what we should be striving for? Well, this morning, let us learn of a few ways we can live by example. Not like others, but ultimately like Christ, who is our measure, as we discussed this morning, Ephesians 4 and verse 13. If you would, turn over your Bibles to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 through 19. Look over there in your Bibles. Paul here is talking to the church in Ephesus, and he says in verse 17, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness and to work all uncleanliness with greediness." Here Paul is talking to that church in Ephesus, and he's explaining to them why not to walk as those Gentiles. And he lists those ways that we should not walk as those Gentiles. And that's exactly what we're going to look at this morning. We're going to look at those ways why Paul said not to walk as the Gentiles and strive to set our godly example. We're going to look at four ways and four examples that Paul said not to follow, but we're going to take those ways not to follow and decide how we can follow. We're going to take a negative and turn it into a positive. See, those Gentiles, they had their understanding darkened. But we want to discuss how we cannot be in that darkness, but be in the light. The Gentiles, as Paul described, were spiritually ignorant. But we're going to discuss ways we need to be not ignorant. And we need to be not ignorant in three ways. In His will, in the Lord's word, and in our ways, we need to not be ignorant. And ultimately, following these things, we can strive to be a better example in Christ. He says that those Gentiles were hardened. They had hardened their heart. They were blind in their heart. So we're going to strive to not be blind in our heart. And then he describes them as being past feeling. Some versions of the Bible say callous. We will discuss that. And they had been given over to certain sins. And we want to strive today to not be not given over totally to sin and callousness. First of all, those Gentiles had their understanding darkened. Well, what is this darkness that Paul is talking about? Let's see if I can give you a brief example. You're sleeping at night, and then suddenly you have the urge to go to the restroom. So you have to get up, and you don't want to turn on the light or anything or make much noise because you don't want to bother your spouse, your kids, or whoever's in the house. So you get up, and you think you can just quickly and easily walk to the bathroom and, you know, just get there quick and get right back into bed because you're tired. But you start walking, and then there's something in your way, and you accidentally trip over that item that was in your way. Why did you trip over that item? Because there was no light. You couldn't find your way while going to that short distance to the bathroom because you were in the darkness. There was no light, and so you tripped over that item on the floor because you couldn't see it. You were in the darkness. And that's exactly how those Gentiles were. They were always in the darkness, and they did not want to come out of the light. So we know what darkness is, but let's see some reasons why they were in the darkness. And why the Gentiles were in the darkness are the same reasons why people are in the darkness today. Look in John, the book of John, chapter 3, verse 19. John 3, verse 19. "And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and that men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." Why were those Gentiles in darkness? Why are people in darkness today? Because their deeds are evil. Another reason is when you're in the darkness, it hides your wrong. Your deeds are evil, and it hides your wrong. You think about crime in this city today, and how people commit evil deeds at night. Why? Because they can blend in. They can blend in with that darkness, and the darkness will hide their wrong. You think about how much you hear about the murders and the robberies and how much that you hear about them happening at night, because this darkness hides their wrong and they can commit their evil deeds. So that's why those people are in darkness back then, as those Gentiles, and like people are today. What happens in darkness? Well, as we saw in that illustration, we stumble and we fall. Turn over to Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 23. Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 12. Prophet Jeremiah says, "Therefore their way shall be to them like slippery ways. In the darkness they shall be driven on and fall in them, for I will bring disaster on them and the year of their punishment, says the Lord." What happens in darkness? We cannot find our way, and we stumble and fall. Also in John 11, verse 10. What ultimately happens in darkness is that folks do not practice the truth. You think about crime and how those people act at night. They don't practice the truth. Look in 1 John 1 and verse 6. 1 John 1 and verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. When we're in the darkness, people do not practice the truth. But this morning, don't you want to practice the truth? Don't you want to be that godly example for others? Well, we need to be in the light. We need not be in the darkness. So what is the light? Well, it's very simple. Turn over to John. Once again, John chapter 8, verse 12. John chapter 8 and verse 12. And I think we all know who this light is. But then Jesus spoke to them, saying again, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not be in darkness, but have the light of life." Who is this light? It is Jesus Christ. And if we want to be a good example, we need to be in Christ and not in the darkness. We need to be that shining example, as he describes in Matthew 5, verse 16. Well, we discussed why people were in darkness and why people were in that darkness, but why should we be in the light today? Why should we be in Christ today? Well, we can have life. Same book of John, chapter 1, verse 4. John chapter 1, verse 4. "In him was life, and the life was the light of men. In him we have life." If you want to have life today, you need to be in the light of Christ. This light of Christ, it also guides us. There's a brief story that I heard, and it was about this very ill patient. And it was winter time. There was a blizzard that had come upon this city, and this patient was in his home, and he needed this doctor. But the doctor couldn't get there because it was at nighttime, and there's this snow covering the streets and the sidewalks. But all those people in that city hung a lantern out on their doorpost to guide that doctor. You see, that light guided that doctor to where he needed to be to help that patient. And that's what this light can do for you today. It can guide you. Also, you can see that in Luke 1 and verse 79. Why be in the light? Because this light drives out and banishes darkness. You think about a sunrise. You think about how it was night, and as the sun gradually comes up over the horizon, the darkness goes away. You want to be in the light? That light will drive out the darkness. It will banish that darkness. Why be in the light? Because the light warns, guards, and it guards you against danger. You know, you think about when you're coming to a traffic light, and then it turns yellow just before it turns red because that yellow warning is telling you that it's going to turn red and you're going to have to stop in just a moment. So light warns us and guards us. You think about boaters and how they travel, and they're coming into the harbor. There's that lighthouse guiding them into the harbor so that they can make their way safely. Why be in the light? Because the light will warn and guard us against danger. And in order to be like those others who walk in darkness, we need to be in the light. Matthew 5, verse 16. So that's one way we turn that negative into a positive, just like those Gentiles. But the Gentiles were also spiritually ignorant. Look back in Ephesians 4, verse 18. "Having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them." What is ignorance? What is ignorance? Well, ignorance is simply not understanding fully or not realizing something, lacking in knowledge or lacking in something that you don't know. I love how Jesus explains it to the Jews, how people can be ignorant. In the book of Matthew, chapter 13, verse 14 through 17. Matthew 13, 14 through 17. Jesus speaking to the Jews here, quoting the book of Isaiah. "And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, 'Hearing you will hear, and shall not understand, and seeing you will see, and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull, their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes have closed. lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn so that I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For assuredly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desire to see what you see, and did not see it, and hear what you hear, but did not hear it. See, Jesus is thanking these people because they saw, and they saw what they needed to see, and they heard with their ears, and they heard. You know, some people, they just have, they hear one thing, and it goes out the other ear. But these people were not ignorant in hearing and seeing, as Jesus describes. We need to not be lacking in knowledge or be ignorant in three places in our lives. We're talking about being spiritually ignorant. We need not be ignorant in the Lord's will. We need not be ignorant in the word of the Lord and in our lives today. We need to be not ignorant in the word of God. Look at 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy 1, verse 7. 1 Timothy 1, and verse 7. Desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor the things which they affirm. You see, how can you be learners and teachers of the word if you cannot comprehend or affirm what the word says? We need to not be ignorant in the word of God. I think about the judgment system when we come to ignorance of his will and how the judge has to know the law in order to sentence you. He can't just sentence you if he doesn't know the law. It'd be like sentencing a person who's been proven a murderer and they give him probation. You can't do that. The judge has to know the law in order to judge a person rightly, and we have to know the law in order to comprehend it and understand it and teach it to others. We need not be ignorant in the word of God. Secondly, in our lives, we need not be ignorant in the Lord's will. Romans 10, verse 3, and Jeremiah 10, verse 23. For man is not to direct his steps, but we need God in our lives to direct our steps. It's not our will, but his will that we need to be following. And if we do not know his will, the prophet Jeremiah says we will be foolish. Jeremiah 5 and verse 4, we need not be ignorant in the will of the Lord. And then we need to not be ignorant of ourselves and of our ways. Because we can be ignorant in our ways sometimes. Sometimes we are lacking in things and lacking in knowledge. And if we're not careful, our own ignorance can mislead people. Think about asking someone for directions. And you ask them, do you know where this place is? And they say, well, kinda. Are you going to trust that person to tell you the right way to go? They could tell you to go right when you're supposed to go left. And so we can't be ignorant in our ways because we can mislead people. And ultimately, in our spiritual lives, we might mislead people if we are self-ignorant. And then ultimately, it goes back to Ephesians 4, verse 18, that when we're ignorant of ourselves, we are excluded from the life of God, Ephesians 4, 18. Ignorance of ourselves, his word, and his will can ultimately lead us to destructive ways and being back like those Gentiles. We need not be like those Gentiles, as Paul says, but strive to know and understand the will of the Lord, Ephesians 5, verse 17. That's ultimately what we want to do, is to know and understand the will of the Lord. Those Gentiles were also blind or hardened in their heart. They had hardened their heart. These folks who have hardened their heart or are blind in their heart, they have a dulled spiritual perception. They have closed off their heart and mind to understanding. They do not care. They are blind. They close themselves off to the will of the Lord, and they have no concept of how to be an example. That's how those Gentiles were, as Paul was talking about. But as Christians, we know that we do not need to be this way. As faithful Christians, we should care about following him and opening our minds and our hearts to understanding his will. Look at what happens when we harden our hearts, when we're blind in our hearts. The prophet Isaiah says we are like dead men, Isaiah 59, verse 10. We grow up the wall like the blind, and we grow up as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as at twilight. We are as dead men in desolate places. When we harden our hearts, when we're blind in our hearts, we become like dead men, and we stumble and fall. When we harden our hearts, that blindness ultimately leads back to being in the darkness. Matthew 6, in verse 23. And when we harden our hearts, we are blinded from Christ and God's glory. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4. Whose minds the God of this age has blinded, and who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. When we blind our hearts, we are blinded from Christ and from God's glory. So what do we need to do in order to overcome this blindness? What do we need to do? Turn over to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1. You want to know what to do to overcome hardness and blindness of your heart? Look in 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. And ultimately, keep going, read in verse 7 and 8, verse 8 and 9. For if these things are yours and abound, listen, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. You want to not be hardened or blind in your heart? Add these things to your life. Because if you don't, you will be blinded if you don't have those things. We need to strive to open our eyes and understand his will and strive to be that godly example. Last, Paul describes those Gentiles as being past feeling. Well, being past feeling means being callous. If you don't know what being calloused means, it's like a carpenter. And when he's used his hands for a very long time and they become rough, so rough that you're calloused. And when you stick a needle into your hand, it's so rough it doesn't hurt. And I know some of you might be ooing and gooing over that, but that's how it is. That's how those Gentiles were that Paul says. They could stick a needle in their hand and they wouldn't even feel it. They're past feeling. They don't care. They don't care about sin. They can't feel sin. They don't care. They've given totally over to sin and it doesn't bother them. But as Christians, we need to act differently. We need to care. And when we sin, it should bother us. I want you to visualize in your mind a chart. And we're going to visualize this chart for a minute about the Christians on one side and those Gentiles and others, worldly people on another. When you're a Christian, you care about God, sin, and your life over here on this side. But what, like those Gentiles, they're past feeling, they're callous, and they don't care on this side. The Gentiles have given them totally over to sin, as we saw in Ephesians 4, verse 19, as we read earlier. They've given over to lewdness and lasciviousness and all uncleanliness with greediness. They've given over themselves to sin. But look what Christians are supposed to give themselves over to. Look now in 2 Corinthians. Turn over there to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Chapter 8, verse 1 through 12. Here Paul is talking to a less stronger group of Christians at Corinth. And he's talking to them about the church of Macedonia that he recently visited. And these people, even though they had, and he's talking about giving here, these people had nothing. These people at the church of Macedonia that he's talking about were very poor people. They were below poverty line. And they had nothing to give. But when they did give, they exceeded Paul's expectation. Look in verse 2, chapter 8, verse 2. That in great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality. For I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, beyond their ability, that they were freely willing to give. You see, these people exceeded Paul's expectations. They had nothing, but they still gave freely and above their ability. But something happened before they exceeded in this giving. Something happened before they became this way. Look at how they received or discovered this attitude. Look in verse 5. Chapter 8, verse 5. And not only as we had hoped, but they first gave themselves to the Lord, and then to us by the will of God. See how their giving exceeded? They gave themselves over to God and to his will. You see, those Gentiles over here had given themselves over totally to sin. But Christians, as faithful Christians, we need to give ourselves over to Christ and to his will. We need to not give ourselves over to sin like those Gentiles. But ultimately, if you want to be a good example, we need to give ourselves over to Christ and to give ourselves over to his will. So what's the application to this lesson? Do we know people today who are like those Gentiles? Do we know people today who are following other people's examples and not setting their own godly example? And the answer is yes. We know people who are in the darkness and have their understanding darkened. We know people who are excluded and have excluded themselves from the life of God. There are those who are ignorant in his word and his will and in their own ways. There are those who have hardened their heart and become blind. And there are those who are past feeling and callous and have given totally over to certain sins. There are those today who are like those Gentiles. But that should encourage us even more, that we should strive even more to live as a godly example and not walk as others walk, as Paul described in Ephesians. Hopefully now we understand that just as Paul told those Ephesians not to follow those Gentiles, we don't need to follow others, but set our own godly example and always look up to our measure, who is Christ, Ephesians 4:13. Hopefully we can all strive to understand the will of the Lord, Ephesians 5:17, and not be foolish, as Paul describes. This morning, you can understand the will of the Lord on becoming a Christian. You can understand His will on being saved this morning. This is what this invitation is all about, to give you a chance to be saved this morning and to understand His will. All He says in His word is that you must believe. You want to understand how to be saved? Believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Because if you don't, you will die in your sins, John 8:24. You want to understand His will about being saved? You must repent, Luke 13:3 and 5. For if you don't repent, you will perish. Understand His will about being saved? You need to confess Christ as the Son of God, Romans 10, 9 and 10. And then we must be baptized for the remission of our sins, Acts 2 and verse 38. And then, after we've done this, we are added to the church, Acts 2, verse 42 and 47. And then we need to live like that godly example. Strive to be a godly example, not like others walk, but strive to be our own godly example and understand the will of the Lord. If you need to make changes in your life or if you need to become a Christian this morning, you can do so by coming up now as we stand and sing.